Imagine waking up tomorrow to discover that everything you thought made you vulnerable actually makes you stronger. This paradigm-shifting revelation lies at the heart of Nassim Nicholas Taleb's groundbreaking work, Antifragile. Unlike his previous bestseller, The Black Swan, which warned about unpredictable catastrophic events, this book offers something far more valuable, a practical framework for thriving in uncertainty. Since its 2012 publication, Antifragile has become required reading in boardrooms, military academies, and among forward-thinking leaders worldwide. Taleb's provocative ideas have influenced figures ranging from tech moguls like Jeff Bezos to hedge fund managers seeking asymmetric returns. What makes this book so compelling is not just its intellectual rigor, but its practical applications, from personal health to financial investments to geopolitical strategy. In a world increasingly defined by volatility and disruption, Taleb offers not just survival strategies, but a roadmap to prosperity. When we ship a package marked fragile, we're asking for careful handling. But what would we write for something that actually benefits from rough treatment? This is Taleb's starting point, identifying a crucial property that has existed throughout history yet lacked a name. While fragile things break under stress and robust things resist it, antifragile things actually improve when challenged. This concept fills a critical blind spot in our vocabulary and thinking. Consider your body. Exercise stresses your muscles, causing minor damage that triggers growth and strengthening. Your immune system becomes more resilient after exposure to germs. These systems don't merely withstand stress, they require it to function properly. The antifragile isn't just theoretical, it's everywhere once you know how to see it. Evolution itself is antifragile, using random mutations and environmental pressures to develop increasingly sophisticated adaptations. Market economies thrive through the creative destruction of businesses, with individual failures contributing to collective advancement. Even information and ideas demonstrate antifragility. Attempts to censor or suppress them often amplify their spread, as when banned books become bestsellers. Taleb illustrates this using mythological figures. Damocles represents fragility, the sword hanging by a thread. The phoenix symbolizes resilience, rebirth after destruction. But the hydra embodies true antifragility. When you cut off one head, two grow back. The hydra actively benefits from attack. This distinction isn't merely academic. Our failure to recognize antifragility leads to profound errors in medicine, economics, and politics. We intervene to eliminate stressors, not realizing they're often essential. We build systems optimized for efficiency rather than resilience. We suppress small problems until they accumulate into catastrophic failures. The implications are vast. In health, some exposure to germs strengthens immunity, while excessive hygiene may contribute to allergies. In economics, preventing small recessions can lead to massive financial crises. In child development, overprotection creates vulnerability rather than strength. By understanding antifragility, we gain a powerful lens for evaluating everything from personal habits to public policy. Modern society has systematically stripped away the natural volatility that systems need to strengthen and adapt. This suppression of randomness, what Taleb calls Turkification, has created a dangerous illusion of stability while building hidden fragility into our world. Consider how we've transformed childhood. Where children once roamed freely, skinned knees, and learned from natural consequences, we now hover anxiously, sanitizing experiences and eliminating risks. This overprotection deprives children of the minor stressors that would develop their physical and psychological antifragility. Studies show that children exposed to some germs develop stronger immune systems, while those raised in ultra-clean environments suffer more allergies and autoimmune disorders. Similarly, children denied the opportunity to face challenges and occasional failures struggle with resilience later in life. This pattern extends throughout society. In economics, central banks intervene to eliminate market volatility, preventing small recessions but potentially enabling massive crashes. In urban planning, we design sterile, controlled environments rather than allowing the organic chaos that makes cities vibrant and adaptable. In medicine, we rush to medicate minor ailments that the body could heal naturally, creating dependency and side effects. Taleb contrasts traditional marketplaces, souks, with modern corporate environments to illustrate this shift. The souk appears chaotic but possesses deep resilience through its decentralization and adaptability. The corporate world, with its illusion of order and efficiency, often proves catastrophically fragile when faced with unexpected challenges. This suppression of volatility creates what Taleb calls the turkey problem. A turkey fed regularly for 1,000 days develops complete confidence in its caretaker until Thanksgiving arrives. Similarly, extended periods of artificial stability lead us to underestimate risks, mistaking absence of evidence for evidence of absence. The consequences appear everywhere. Financial systems that collapse after decades of apparent stability, political regimes that suddenly topple after seeming impregnable, even mental health crises emerging from lives too sanitized of natural stressors. By eliminating small, necessary volatilities, we're creating systems increasingly vulnerable to massive disruptions, what Taleb famously calls black swans. The solution isn't abandoning modernity, but recognizing our need for certain kinds of randomness and stress. We need systems that allow small failures to prevent catastrophic ones, that incorporate redundancies rather than pursuing maximum efficiency, and that respect the wisdom embedded in traditions that have survived centuries of volatility. Our instinct to intervene in complex systems often backfires spectacularly. Taleb calls this naive interventionism, the compulsion to act without fully understanding the consequences, particularly in domains where the benefits are immediate and visible, while the harms are delayed and hidden. Medicine provides the clearest example of this phenomenon. The term iatrogenics, harm caused by the healer, emerged from recognition that doctors sometimes hurt patients while trying to help them. From bloodletting that killed George Washington to unnecessary surgeries that claim thousands of lives annually, medical history is filled with well-intentioned interventions that proved harmful. Yet this concept has barely penetrated other domains where similar dynamics operate. Consider economic policy. When Alan Greenspan attempted to solve the business cycle by suppressing normal economic fluctuations, he inadvertently created massive hidden risks that eventually exploded in the 2008 financial crisis. Similarly, foreign policy interventions designed to create stability often generate greater chaos, as when Western powers topple dictators without considering the power vacuums that would follow. This interventionist bias stems from several sources. First is our action bias, the psychological need to do something rather than nothing, even when inaction would be wiser. We celebrate the doctor who prescribes a treatment, but question one who recommends waiting. Second is our difficulty distinguishing signal from noise. In our information-saturated world, we react to minor fluctuations as if they were meaningful trends. A doctor monitoring vital signs hourly will see countless meaningless variations that might trigger unnecessary interventions. Similarly, policymakers responding to every economic indicator create more volatility than they solve. Third is our failure to appreciate systems' natural healing capacities. Just as the body can heal many ailments without medication, economies and societies possess self-correcting mechanisms that work best when allowed to function with minimal interference. The solution isn't never to intervene, but to intervene more intelligently. Taleb advocates Fabian strategic procrastination, waiting until intervention is clearly necessary rather than rushing to act. He suggests focusing interventions on limiting size, concentration, and speed, factors that increase black swan risks rather than trying to eliminate volatility itself. Perhaps most importantly, we should recognize the asymmetry of intervention. In complex systems with natural healing capacities, the burden of proof should fall on those advocating intervention, not those counseling patients. As Hippocrates advised 2,400 years ago, first, do no harm. Our modern obsession with prediction represents one of our greatest intellectual failures. Despite sophisticated models and powerful computers, our ability to forecast significant events remains dismal. Yet we continue building fragile systems that depend on accurate predictions, rather than designing for the inevitable uncertainty we face. The record speaks for itself. Economic forecasters consistently fail to predict recessions. Political experts missed the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Arab Spring, and countless other transformative events. Even in controlled environments like weather forecasting, accuracy declines dramatically beyond a few days. When it comes to complex social and economic systems, our predictive abilities approach zero. This predictive failure isn't due to insufficient data or computing power, it's inherent to complex systems. Such systems feature countless interdependencies, where small changes cascade unpredictably. They demonstrate nonlinear responses, where inputs and outputs aren't proportionally related. And they're subject to feedback loops that amplify small variations into major shifts. These properties make precise prediction mathematically impossible beyond short time frames. Yet modern institutions remain prediction dependent. Governments base policies on economic forecasts that consistently prove wrong. Companies make rigid strategic plans assuming they can anticipate market changes. Investors rely on risk models that repeatedly fail during crises. This dependence on prediction creates systemic fragility. We build structures with no margin for the inevitable forecasting errors. Taleb proposes an alternative. Instead of trying to predict the unpredictable, focus on building systems that don't require prediction to function well. This means designing for robustness and anti-fragility rather than efficiency and optimization. Consider two approaches to retirement planning. The prediction-dependent approach attempts to forecast market returns, inflation rates, and lifespan to calculate the optimal savings rate. The non-predictive approach simply saves as much as reasonably possible, maintains emergency reserves, and diversifies widely, a strategy that works regardless of which specific future materializes. Similarly, businesses can adopt barbell strategies that combine extremely safe core operations with small, high-potential experiments. This approach doesn't require predicting exactly which innovations will succeed. It creates a system that benefits from uncertainty rather than being harmed by it. The key insight is that we don't need to predict to prepare. By focusing on exposure to events rather than the events themselves, we can build systems that thrive under uncertainty. Instead of asking what will happen, we should ask how will our system respond to whatever happens. This shift from prediction to preparation represents a fundamental reorientation of how we approach an unpredictable world. The barbell strategy represents one of Taleb's most practical applications of anti-fragility. Rather than seeking moderate risk across all domains, the conventional balanced approach, Taleb advocates combining extreme risk aversion in most areas with calculated risk-seeking in small portions of your life, portfolio, or business. This strategy derives its name from the weightlifting equipment with heavy weights at both ends and nothing in the middle. Applied to investments, it might mean putting 90% of assets in extremely safe instruments, like government bonds, while allocating 10% to highly speculative ventures with enormous upside potential. This approach limits maximum possible loss while maintaining exposure to positive black swans, those rare, unpredictable events that deliver extraordinary returns. The beauty of this strategy lies in its asymmetry. By limiting downside exposure while maintaining upside potential, you create a position that benefits from volatility and uncertainty. When markets crash, your core assets remain protected. When unexpected opportunities emerge, your speculative portion can capture them. This principle extends far beyond finance. In career planning, it might mean maintaining a stable job while pursuing entrepreneurial ventures on the side. In education, it could involve mastering fundamental skills while exploring unconventional knowledge areas. In health, it suggests combining consistent basic habits, sleep, nutrition, with occasional intense challenges, fasting, high-intensity exercise. Taleb contrasts this with the seemingly moderate middle path that often proves surprisingly fragile. A portfolio of medium-risk investments can be wiped out in a crisis. A career of moderate specialization becomes vulnerable to technological disruption. A health regimen of moderate consistent exercise may provide less benefit than combining rest with occasional intensity. The barbell strategy aligns with how nature operates. Biological systems typically combine high safety margins in critical functions with controlled stressors that trigger beneficial adaptations. Our bodies maintain redundant vital systems while responding positively to intermittent challenges like exercise, temperature variation, and caloric restriction. This approach acknowledges our fundamental inability to predict the future. Rather than betting everything on a particular forecast, the barbell strategy creates positive exposure to uncertainty itself. It transforms unpredictability from a threat into an opportunity by limiting what you can lose while keeping unlimited what you might gain. Perhaps most importantly, the barbell strategy provides psychological benefits. By knowing your downside is strictly limited, you gain the freedom to take intelligent risks without crippling anxiety. This combination of security and opportunity represents a powerful framework for navigating an increasingly volatile world. At the heart of anti-fragility lies optionality, the freedom to choose among alternatives, particularly when new information emerges. Unlike rigid plans that become obsolete when circumstances change, optionality allows you to adapt and capitalize on the unexpected. Consider the ancient Greek philosopher Thales of Miletus. Tired of being mocked for his poverty, he used his meteorological knowledge to predict a bumper olive harvest. Rather than simply betting on this prediction, he secured options to rent all local olive presses at the standard rate. When his prediction proved correct, demand for presses soared, and Thales could sublease them at premium prices or use them himself. His genius wasn't just in the prediction, but in creating an asymmetric position. If wrong, he'd lose only the small deposits. If right, his gains were potentially enormous. This asymmetry defines true optionality: limited downside with open-ended upside. Options give you the right, but not the obligation, to take specific actions, allowing you to benefit from favorable developments while avoiding unfavorable ones. The more volatile and unpredictable the environment, the more valuable optionality becomes. Nature has leveraged optionality for billions of years through evolutionary processes. Random genetic mutations create options. Environmental pressures select the beneficial ones. This trial and error system doesn't require foresight. It simply generates possibilities and preserves what works. The result is extraordinary adaptation without any central planning or prediction. Human innovation follows similar patterns, despite our myths about visionary geniuses. Most major technological breakthroughs emerge not from grand theories, but from tinkering, accident, and incremental improvement. The steam engine preceded thermodynamics, not vice versa. The Wright brothers were bicycle mechanics, not aeronautical theorists. Innovation comes primarily from options-rich experimentation, not linear planning. This has profound implications for education, career development, and organizational strategy. Traditional education emphasizes predetermined paths and specific knowledge. An optionality-based approach would prioritize foundational skills, diverse experiences, and the ability to recognize and seize opportunities. Similarly, career development might focus less on climbing predetermined ladders and more on accumulating skills and connections that create future options. For organizations, optionality suggests strategies that generate and preserve choices rather than committing prematurely to specific paths. This might mean maintaining cash reserves, pursuing multiple small experiments rather than single large bets, and designing flexible systems that can adapt to changing conditions. The key insight is that optionality substitutes for knowledge. In a world too complex to fully understand or predict, having options is more valuable than having forecasts. By maximizing your ability to adapt to whatever emerges, you create anti-fragility without requiring impossible foresight. Throughout history, a dangerous divide has persisted between theoretical knowledge and practical wisdom. Taleb identifies the fragilista as someone who imposes theory-driven fragility on systems by ignoring the practical knowledge embedded in traditions, heuristics, and trial-and-error learning. This divide appears starkly in how we understand technological innovation. The conventional narrative suggests a linear progression. Basic science leads to applied research, which leads to practical development. In reality, the vector often runs in the opposite direction. Practical innovations frequently precede scientific understanding. Steam engines worked before thermodynamics explained why. Aspirin relieved pain long before we understood its biochemical mechanisms. Medieval builders constructed magnificent cathedrals without modern engineering formulas. Yet academic institutions persistently claim credit for innovations that emerged primarily through tinkering, trial and error, and practical experience. This teaching birds to fly phenomenon, where theorists claim to have enabled what was already happening, distorts our understanding of how progress actually occurs. The fragilista's core error is confusing the map for the territory, believing that our simplified models capture all relevant aspects of complex reality. This leads to dangerous interventions based on incomplete understanding. Financial regulators impose risk models that ignore rare but devastating events. Urban planners redesign cities based on theories that ignore the organic wisdom embedded in traditional layouts. Medical authorities issue dietary guidelines based on simplified nutritional theories that ignore the complexity of human metabolism. This isn't an anti-intellectual position, but a recognition of different types of knowledge. Taleb distinguishes between techne, practical know-how, and episteme, theoretical knowledge. Both have value, but problems arise when we subordinate practical wisdom to theory, especially in domains characterized by complexity and non-linearity. The solution isn't abandoning theory, but recognizing its limits and complementing it with respect for practical knowledge. This means acknowledging the wisdom embedded in traditions that have survived for generations. They may contain implicit knowledge we haven't yet formalized. It means valuing the tacit expertise of practitioners alongside the explicit knowledge of theorists. And it means approaching complex systems with humility, recognizing that our understanding will always remain incomplete. Perhaps most importantly, it means designing systems that don't require perfect understanding to function well. Rather than building fragile structures dependent on precise theoretical models, we should create anti-fragile systems that learn from experience, adapt to feedback, and improve through trial and error, just as nature has done for billions of years. Some of the most powerful improvements in our lives come not from adding new elements, but from removing harmful ones. This via negativa approach, focusing on subtraction rather than addition, represents a fundamental principle of anti-fragility that runs counter to our additive instincts. Consider health. Modern medicine often focuses on adding interventions, medications, supplements, procedures. Yet many of the most significant health improvements come from elimination, removing smoking, processed foods, excessive alcohol, or chronic stress. These subtractive approaches often deliver greater benefits with fewer side effects than additive ones. This pattern appears across domains. In writing, the key to clarity often lies in removing unnecessary words rather than adding explanatory ones. In product design, the most elegant solutions frequently involve eliminating components rather than adding features. In decision-making, removing options can lead to better choices than expanding possibilities. The via negativa offers particular value when dealing with complex systems where complete understanding is impossible. We may not know exactly how the human body works, but we can identify substances that harm it. We may not understand all market dynamics, but we can identify practices that increase systemic risk. By focusing on removing known harms rather than adding theoretical benefits, we can improve outcomes without requiring perfect knowledge. This approach aligns with how evolution works. Natural selection primarily eliminates what doesn't work rather than optimizing what does. The result is systems that are not theoretically perfect, but practically effective. They've survived by avoiding fatal flaws rather than achieving ideal designs. The via negativa also offers psychological benefits. Subtractive approaches are often simpler to implement and maintain than additive ones. Eliminating sugar from your diet requires a single decision. Following a complex nutritional regimen demands constant attention. Similarly, financial strategies based on avoiding major mistakes like excessive debt or concentration risk prove more robust than those requiring continuous optimization. Perhaps most importantly, the via negativa acknowledges the asymmetry between harm and benefit. In complex systems, potential harms often outweigh potential benefits. It's easier to break things than to improve them. By focusing first on eliminating negatives, we respect this fundamental asymmetry. This doesn't mean never adding anything. Innovation and progress often require new elements. But it suggests a sequence. First, remove what's harmful, then consider what to add. This approach recognizes that absence of harm provides the foundation upon which benefits can be built. The most pernicious aspect of modern society may be the increasing separation between risk and reward, what Taleb calls the problem of skin in the game. When decision makers can capture benefits while transferring risks to others, they create systems that are both fragile and fundamentally unjust. This problem appears most visibly in finance. Banking executives receive enormous bonuses during good years, but face limited personal consequences when their risks destroy institutions. The 2008 financial crisis revealed this asymmetry at its worst. Bankers who had profited from creating toxic assets kept their wealth while taxpayers absorbed the losses. This arrangement isn't merely unfair, it creates systemic fragility by incentivizing excessive risk-taking. The issue extends far beyond finance. Politicians make decisions about war without their children serving in combat. Bureaucrats impose regulations without experiencing their consequences. Corporate executives make environmental choices affecting communities where they don't live. In each case, the separation between decision-making and consequences leads to poor decisions and fragile systems. Historically, societies understood this problem intuitively. The Code of Hammurabi, nearly 4,000 years old, specified that if a builder constructed a house that collapsed and killed the owner, the builder would be put to death. This severe approach ensured that builders had every incentive to build safely. Similarly, Roman generals led troops into battle personally, facing the same risks as their soldiers. These arrangements created natural feedback loops that improved decision quality. Modern society has systematically eliminated these feedback loops. Limited liability corporations shield owners from full consequences of corporate actions. Complex financial instruments obscure who bears what risks. Globalization separates production decisions from their environmental and social impacts. The result is a world where those with the power to create systemic risks rarely bear the full consequences of those risks. The solution isn't necessarily returning to Hammurabi's harsh penalties, but restoring meaningful connection between decisions and consequences. This might mean reforming executive compensation to include true downside exposure, not just upside potential. It could involve requiring lawmakers to live under the laws they pass without special exemptions. It certainly means eliminating bailouts and other mechanisms that privatize gains while socializing losses. Beyond specific policies, we need a cultural shift that values skin in the game as both an ethical principle and a design requirement for robust systems. We should be skeptical of advice from those who won't suffer if their recommendations fail. We should design institutions where decision makers share meaningfully in both the benefits and costs of their choices. And we should celebrate those who voluntarily accept personal risk for collective benefit, the true heroes of an anti-fragile society. The principles of anti-fragility offer powerful guidance for personal decision-making in an unpredictable world. By applying these concepts to health, career, education, and personal finance, we can design lives that don't merely survive uncertainty, but actively benefit from it. In physical health, the anti-fragile approach recognizes that our bodies strengthen through appropriate stress. Rather than constant comfort, we need strategic discomfort, intermittent fasting rather than constant feeding, variable intensity exercise rather than steady moderate activity, temperature variation rather than constant climate control. These hormetic stressors trigger beneficial adaptations that make us more resilient. Simultaneously, we should eliminate chronic stressors that offer no adaptive benefit, like processed foods, environmental toxins, or sleep deprivation. The barbell strategy applies perfectly. Eliminate chronic harmful stressors while embracing acute beneficial ones. For mental health, similar principles apply. Constant comfort creates psychological fragility, while appropriate challenges build resilience. Exposure therapy, gradually facing fears in controlled settings, demonstrates this principle clinically. More broadly, developing comfort with uncertainty and occasional failure builds psychological anti-fragility. As with physical health, the key distinction is between acute stressors that strengthen us and chronic ones that wear us down. In career development, anti-fragility suggests prioritizing optionality over narrow optimization. Rather than maximizing current income or status, focus on developing transferable skills, diverse experiences, and robust networks that create future options. The barbell strategy might mean combining stable income sources with entrepreneurial ventures, or maintaining technical expertise while developing management capabilities. This approach creates resilience against industry disruption while positioning you to benefit from unexpected opportunities. Education similarly benefits from an optionality focus. Beyond required curriculum, the most valuable learning often happens through self-directed exploration. Taleb himself describes how he maintained minimum academic performance while voraciously reading whatever captured his interest. This barbell approach, meeting basic requirements while pursuing passionate interests, creates both security and opportunity. It also builds the meta skill of learning how to learn, perhaps the ultimate form of anti-fragility in a rapidly changing world. For personal finances, anti-fragility principles directly counter conventional wisdom. Rather than optimizing for average returns, focus on limiting downside while maintaining exposure to positive surprises. This might mean keeping substantial cash reserves, seemingly inefficient, but creating valuable optionality, while making small asymmetric investments with limited downside and unlimited upside. It certainly means avoiding debt, which creates fragility by eliminating your ability to weather setbacks or seize opportunities. Throughout all domains, the via negativa offers particular value. Identify and eliminate sources of fragility before adding supposed enhancements. Remove harmful habits, toxic relationships, unnecessary complications, and fragile dependencies. This subtractive approach often yields greater benefits than additive interventions while requiring less perfect knowledge about how complex systems work. Perhaps most importantly, living anti-fragile means embracing rather than fearing volatility. A completely predictable life isn't just impossible, it would be stagnant. Variation, randomness, and occasional disruption provide the stressors that trigger growth and create opportunities. By designing your life to benefit from these inevitable features of reality, you transform uncertainty from an enemy into an ally.